Ugh, I'm not in the mood. Do we have to do this?
Yes.
Wait, are we recording? Okay, let's go. You're listening to The Ali Colbert Show.
This is what happens if you book a podcast space off of a website like PureSpace. It's basically like I like Ubered recording my podcast. I was like, okay, Will is on the way.
And like, wait, have you not recorded here before?
I've never recorded here.
Oh, wow.
I have. So this is actually going to be a shout out to Jordan on the pod. So Jordan is producing the show, and Jordan is so enthusiastic about producing the show that Jordan has inspired me to be more enthusiastic about the fucking show. And, like, I've said this to Julian, and Julian, like, has the opposite issue of what has occurred between Jordan and myself, where people will reach out to Julian, my partner, on the internet to, like, assist her or whatever it is, because I've had her on the podcast, and people just come in your DMs and they're like, let me edit your videos, let me whatever. And she'll have these people come on and support her, and they just, like, drop off, like, after a day, or they'll, like, fuck her shit up and then be, like, unreachable.
Jesus.
And Jordan has actually done the opposite, is, like, you need to step it up to me. It's, like, these are the things we're going to implement. Like, he was, like, I want to, like, assist you produce. I'm, like, I feel like now he's my boss. Like, he's on it. You know
what
I mean?
That rocks, dude.
And it's amazing when you get to work with people who, like, raise the level, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I couldn't show up like that. It's just like a little bit of a wake-up call. So shout out to Jordan on that. But this room does look like it could be the room from Room. Like, I feel like there's definitely, like, Will records podcasts, and then there's, like, a little girl under that desk who's, like, chained up and has, like, only grown up in this brick room.
It's like, did you see Barbarian?
I haven't. What's that?
Oh my god, it's like the horror movie Zach Krieger wrote, but it's like you walk in and there's like audio recordings, but it's all like crimes that he's like documented.
That's
it's
so
really dark.
Creepy.
But it does remind me of that a little bit.
I bet you there's people that do such creepy shit on Airbnb.
Like the hidden cameras and shit.
The hidden cameras and shit.
I see so many threads on Reddit that are like, is this a hidden camera in my Airbnb? Like, my wife and I have been fucking in here for 3 weeks. And, like,
we
didn't realize that this giant penguin with a glowing red eye might be.
It has an eye patch. Oh, my God. I know. There was this thing. I forget if I've ever talked about this on the podcast, but there was, like, this was a thing in the tri-state area, and you were saying Maddie Wiener, guest on the show.
Hello, hello.
Amazing stand-up comedy. We're going to get into it. But Maddie was set. Anyway, grew up in North Carolina for the most part. That's how you identify. And in the tri-state for like prom and things like that, there's the big event is the after prom, which is when you guys all hang out after prom and you lose your virginity. And this happens for some people, usually like the popular girls. Will, like, I don't know, suck a dick after prom. And they rent a house, and that's, like, the prom house. And there was this big story where this group of kids rented this house, and they're partying in the basement, and one of them stumbles into a room of this house and finds a man with tons and tons of cameras. And he'd been watching them for, like, 2 nights, and they called the cops, and, like, he was, like, a wanted guy. Like, the FBI came and shut it down.
Oh, my God.
I know. Imagine, like, losing your virginity that night.
Jesus Christ.
I know. Talk about, like, you'd have such sexual trauma. Like, every time you fuck, you think there's, like, an old man in the other room.
Oh, my God,
it's not funny. I know. It's really bad. It didn't happen to me, but it just feels bad. I always think, I had an Airbnb once, I know I've talked about this, where there was, like, a mirror, and behind the mirror was a door into, like, this, like, unfurnished cellar-type room.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah, this is making me be like, I'm never going to get an Airbnb again.
Yeah, and I actually remember that room because it was the first time I came with my hand. It was in that room. Sometimes it's hard to just come.
Wait, how old were you?
Manually.
You're like, you were an adult the first time you
came with my hand?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't. So the first time I came with a device, which was the first time I came, I was a junior in college.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
What, you're one of those girls that came at like 6? Is that your thing?
Yeah. I figured it out early, dude. But you got to do the leg cross. That's like when you're...
Oh, what? Squeeze your legs together?
Yeah.
I squeeze my legs together so hard, I always feel like I'm going to break a girl's hand off. I was like, tell me if I'm hurting your hand. I like need to
I've
break
done that to a
someone's
guy before.
Wrist.
I've like been on his thigh and I was like, I'm gonna like cut off your circulation. It's like if a guy was ever amputated and I needed to like stop the blood flow.
Yeah, they're like, do it. No, squeeze hard. So yeah, first time I came was with this like little purple, I forget if it was with this purple bullet device or it might have been with an electric toothbrush.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't. I feel like I've heard it. Well, I like always heard about that just like in culture as like a joke. And then I was like, I thought for years it was like the bristles. I didn't understand. It was like, it's the handle, right?
Oh, no, I use the bristles.
The bristles? That seems like it would hurt so bad.
The handle doesn't seem like it would hurt?
Well, you're just pressing it up. It's like a smooth.
I guess you're right. The bristles did get like, hurt because like a few times like my clit would get like caught in the bristles.
Bro, well it's crazy because the bristles too. I'm like the way they spin, they're meant to be like getting plaque off
of
my
your clit.
Teeth.
This Oral-B toothbrush is guaranteed to get all plaque off of your labia. It's really helpful at just scrubbing the plaque off of your clit.
I didn't know bristles was a real thing.
I know, but so it then became hard to come with my hand. You have not had this experience?
Oh no, I bought a vibrator in college and then I was fully like,
you get like
oh
dependent.
Going back is yeah 100%.
No, I know.
Well, and it also makes sex hard too because you're like, I'm used to
well don't
insanity.
Even get me started on sex.
Yeah,
I mean it's like impossible compared to like what I do on my own.
Yeah,
I'm like, this is a fucking choreographed dance I have down pat when I'm on my own. Now I'm like introducing a new amateur dancer. I'm like, I have to show you the moves. I'm like, I've been doing this tango for years.
And I'm like, I can respond in real time. I'm like, okay, I'm like, I'm in the control room seeing when everything's changing. But by the time you're like, oh, I want this. And then you communicate it to someone. I'm like, well, now the moment's passed. And
oh,
it's
what
like,
are you looking for?
It's hard to.
Let's be specific.
I'm thinking about also with guys.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's talk about this. So
okay,
I thought you were straight. Which
thank
you're not.
You so much.
You identify. Let's share how you identify.
I'm bisexual. The gender shit too.
I get whatever you feel you want to
yeah,
share.
Yeah, non-binary woman adjacent vibes.
Woman adjacent vibes. You check that off on the SATs. Male, female, women adjacent vibes.
But I say like I don't know gender fluid between
gender
like non-binary,
fluid.
But I also really feel like an attachment to womanhood. Like I feel like I have a foot in both pots.
Yeah, I feel more gender fluid every day. Mm. I honestly always felt gender fluid. I'm just gonna make your identity about me if you don't mind. I just always feel gender fluid.
Yeah.
I don't ever.
I think it's. I was trying to write
isn't
a bit about this, but I was like,
fluid?
Right. I was
I
trying
don't
to
really
write a,
get that.
Yeah. I was trying to write a bit where I was like, who's genuinely like, I'm a woman? It's like, have some imagination. You know what I mean? You're just like, no, factory settings is fine. It's
right?
Like,
no, but
someone, you gotta have a little zhuzh to you.
I totally, but like, women, I've hung out with women, like, they're dudes. Like, anytime you hang out with a woman, you're like, you're a huge man. Do you know what I mean? Like, women just alone, I'm like, you're definitely not, like, everyone feels gender fluid to some degree to me.
Yeah.
I think it's like sexuality.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably all on a spectrum and no one's 100%.
I know.
Yeah.
I just think the conditioning around like male identifying people specifically though is just like so strong that in order for like your classic man to be like, I feel gender fluid would be so unnerving for a man.
Yeah.
We don't even let men be bisexual.
Yeah. And there's a weird thing too where like I think because like, I don't know, politically, culturally, whatever, it's such a like, oh, liberal beta guy. If you say gender fluid, it's like it's almost feminizing in a weird way because people see it as this like, I'm soft and blah, blah, blah. And it's
right.
Like, no, but when I'm saying it, I'm actually talking about my masculinity. But if people aren't
right.
Queer and in it, they don't get it. They see it as like almost more feminizing in a weird
right.
Way.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense, but like.
No, I because there's something I think society thinks is inherently feminine about like identifying things and like using nuanced language. It's
yes.
Like, if I'm not a caveman, you guys are going to call me gay.
Exactly.
So
I'm like guys would actually get my gender identity more if I was like, I'm just one of the guys. And it's like, that's not like, the language I would use. But actually, that is like,
right.
Guys who think that, I'm like, you do kind of get the vibe.
Right.
A
right.
Little bit.
I totally know what you mean. Okay, so, and then you're bisexual, but you were saying before that you have not dated a woman.
I have
or
not
what?
Dated a woman. I've been on like maybe one thing that was maybe a date, but nothing happened. But
so
I've never.
Tell me the whole thing. I need
never
to know
slept
everything.
With a woman.
Okay. Never slept with a woman?
No, never slept with a woman. But okay, here's what I would like to
oh
clarify.
My God. Have you eaten a pussy?
No.
Oh
it would be
God.
Insane if I was like, I ate pussy, but I didn't touch it. I didn't sleep with her.
I know. No, I'm just, yeah, I know. That would be crazy. So are you
like,
just dying to eat a pussy?
Kind of, yeah. I'm looking for it.
Wait.
But I also haven't been with a lot of guys either. I've been with maybe like 5 guys.
You get it.
Because here's the thing. I'm really like, I like sex with like an emotional connection.
Yeah.
Like casual hookups really don't do much for me. I'm like, I'd rather jerk off. So I'm like, I'm not super seeking out like casual sex just because I'm like, I like to kind of like a person first, and that just doesn't happen.
Right.
Every week or
so. So were those boyfriends then?
Boyfriends are someone that I was like, oh, you're cool, and we hung out. Like some of them were one night stands. Right. And then I've had two like serious boyfriends. Yeah.
Okay. And then did you like figure out the queer stuff in the process of dating these guys, or you knew before? You're like,
I had like in middle school, I was using they, them pronouns. And
oh my God.
I kind of had like a real, the gender stuff was my connection to queerness before sexuality.
Wow. That's amazing.
Oh, thanks.
That's awesome. Are you kidding me? I would have killed to like have someone ask me about gender or sexual identity when I was in middle school.
But what's so weird,
I was being like kicked into a locker.
Yeah. I kind of like, I think I like, we're close to the same age. It's like I'm 24, but I like
know,
really had the internet as a kid.
5 years were big, huh?
Yeah. And so I was like, YouTube, Tumblr, like I think I found a lot of the language to articulate what I was feeling online.
Yeah.
And like having the internet was a big part of that.
Like, but I'm an incel.
I was radicalized. But then in high school, I started,
I love QAnon, Mom. What the get off of Tumblr.
Hopefully this is the other path.
Yeah.
But I started stand-up in high school, and then I think I kind of pushed down all the, I was like, I'm not going to do an open mic in North Carolina and explain to like these 40-year-old guys that I'm using they, them pronouns. Like, forget it.
So you started stand-up in high school?
Yeah, like in like when I was like 16.
How does that happen?
It was like on a whim, an open mic for fun. And then I met these guys who like became my best friends.
That were like 40-year-old men?
No, there were two guys that were like around my age. They were like 18. But I started doing that. And then when I was dating my last boyfriend, who's a great guy, we were in COVID. And I think I kind of had the thing that a lot of people had, like the COVID queer awakening.
Everyone,
you're outside of social orchestration, so you realize how you really feel. But he was such a sweet.
Isn't that hilarious that if you're cut off from society, you realize you're gay? All we needed to do with straight women was lock them in their house for 30 days. And then they're like, we're gay!
Sit alone
we're
with your
fucking gay!
Sit alone with your thoughts for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, these are all about tits.
Yeah, like just for 2 weeks, we're asking you to not go to the gym. Just 2 weeks. And they're like, whoa, I'm gay. Their body's atrophying. And they're like, we're dykes. That's crazy. Okay, so you're with your boyfriend.
I'm with my boyfriend, and I'm like kind of being like, hey, I think I was discovering some bisexual stuff too, but also I was like, the gender shit is for sure, that wasn't a phase. Like, it's always been there.
But he knew that, right? Because that was baked in since middle school.
But I know I kind of let it fall to the wayside.
Oh, and I've done that. I did that with my sexuality once.
For real?
Yeah, I was like, I'm bisexual, and then I like forgot. I like gaslit everyone that I didn't say it for 5 years. I was like, never mind. And then I like had like girlfriends, and it was just like, it's just easier sometimes to like pick it up and like look at it and be like, this is what's going on, and then like put it down until you're ready.
Totally.
You know.
And I think also with stand up too, it's like, I don't know. There's like access to certain spaces that I think would have been hard, and like,
oh my God, totally.
Like, especially with being non-binary, I'm like, people wouldn't really get it. And like, so much of stand up too, especially when you're starting out, is like, I'm talking about this sort of shared assumption we all have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the shared assumption is that I'm a woman. So if I'm making jokes about sex and stuff, it was like much easier to just be like, I'm a woman.
Unless you're walking them into that.
Yeah. And now I've kind of figured out how to do that. But all of that was to say that my boyfriend was like kind of super encouraging of like, yeah, figure out whatever gender stuff you need to in this relationship. And like, was cool because I think a lot of guys would have been like, well, you're going to make me gay because you're a dude.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, he was very
would
cool
have had
about
like
it.
Resistance to it.
Yeah.
And I want to say one of the things you just said about how access to that space and like how you feel comfortable with yourself and then sharing it on stage. I agree with what you're saying. And I felt that like when I first started doing stand up and I was out as straight, and I was not in queer relationships, like, personally, but I, like, felt like I might be gay, that was impossible to talk about on stage. I would never talk about that because I felt insecure about it. Then when I was still out but had a girlfriend, when I was still straight, presenting as straight, you get what I'm saying? I shouldn't have taken a hit of this. But I'll tell you why I took a hit of this. I took a hit of this because my stomach, I have Crohn's disease, has been flaring up, and it's like the only thing that helps my stomach.
Nicotine or
no,
THC?
THC.
Oh, wow.
So now
I don't know why I thought nicotine.
Now
the
I'm
healing powers of nicotine.
Cigarettes really make my stomach calm. Would you like a hit of it?
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
though.
So but
I will
now,
fully lose my mind.
No, literally, I'm like, what are we talking about? What was I just saying?
Not talking about queer identity when you're unsure.
Yeah, exactly. So I did my first Tonight Show set. I'm like talking about dating dudes. I had a girlfriend at that time, but I wasn't out.
Wow.
But then once I felt comfortable with my sexuality, I could easily talk about it on stage. But I was so fucking afraid at first that the audience, that I would like lose them. And I didn't know how to like finesse that. So like I projected this big fear onto them, but it was all me.
I had the same thing with jokes about being non-binary, because when I first started doing them, I was like, I think I may be non-binary if you think I am, and that's okay with you. And it's like nobody's on board. But then when you're able to be like,
exactly,
I'm non-binary, and phrase it as like an involuntary, inevitable thing, people get it.
100%.
Yeah.
And I just fucked that up for like a long, I mean, that's just the story of being gay though for a lot of people, or queer, whatever it is, of just like you, so much of the fear for me was coming from myself.
Yes, same, because I had a super supportive, like grew up in a really liberal bubble. Parents could not have cared less, were so cool every time I've come out as a different whatever. Almost every obstacle was internal.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's just from what? Lack of representation? I was like, there's no, I don't know.
For me, I think a big part of it too is like, I'm still very attracted to guys, and I didn't know what it would look like to be non-binary or embrace any parts of masculinity and like lose your place in the male gaze.
Wow.
Because that just feels like death. You know what
I
mean?
Oh my God, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
So what'd you figure out about that?
That guys like tits and they don't care what you call them.
That's right. That I would imagine that's true, but I would feel that that was threatening.
Totally. But I think I found too that I'm like, there's guys that, it hasn't stopped me from sleeping with any man that I would want to sleep. Like the guys that get it are the guys that you're like, yeah, you're fucking cool anyway. And it's hot. I think also like embracing masculinity, even in like a straight sexual relationship, is like
you peg them.
I'm making it so poetic. I want to
it's
so
like
bad.
So much, and so nobody... much euphemism. Euphemism and metaphor. Like you peg. You like to peg your boyfriends.
I never have.
Nobody's
been down to. But I'm
down for it.
I would be so down for it.
And so, are you in a relationship right now?
No, I'm totally single right now.
Okay, so COVID happens, and you're like, I need to explore my gender stuff. You say to your boyfriend. Your boyfriend's like, go for it.
Yeah.
And then the sexuality stuff, you're like, I'm not itching to explore that, or you're not expressing that.
I was like happy to explore it just like on my own. You know what I mean? I was like, I can figure that a lot of that out in a vacuum.
So not.
I wasn't like going out and like sleeping with women or doing
You didn't
want to
do that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I would have been opposed to it, but that wasn't like.
Yeah, that wasn't
the form it took for me. Yeah.
Okay.
It also wasn't as hard for me as the gender stuff was. I think. Well, I won't say that, but it was like the gender stuff was kind of my main dilemma and main like internal obstacle. Yeah.
And how did that come up for you? Was that around like how you were like identifying to the world, or was that just like you wrestling with like how you want to present? Like where does that?
Yeah, I think a big part of it was like, and this sounds fucked up. Like obviously I know this is like a bad message that I had internalized, but it was like, I think I didn't know how to do something like use they, them pronouns. And I use she, they pronouns, but like, using they, them pronouns and not feeling like desexualized or unattractive, because so much of what you, like if you're raised as a woman, so much of what you learn about you being hot is your womanhood, is your femininity. So right. I was like, what does me being attractive look like outside of that?
Right.
And honestly, like a lot of that I think was just like collecting images on like Instagram and like seeing other queer people and like learning how to like dress in a way that, like, this Carhartt jacket, dude, it's like insane how much emotional stock I have.
Tell me,
like,
I totally
that I'm just
get
like, it's like boxy, and like, I like wearing big, baggy clothes, and I still feel like a hot girl in it, but I also feel like a little bit of a dude. Like, I think if I never knew the word non-binary, I would have been like, I feel like a girl that's part boy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, like, learning how to dress like that, I don't know.
Wait, I totally get what you mean. With like, I feel that clothing can be so affirming, you know, and it's kind of amazing how it can make you feel.
Do you feel like your fashion sense changed at all when you came out, or when you maybe like broke out of the male gaze a little bit?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I've been talking about this a lot lately, like with myself, I think, and a bit on the show. I feel that I have good taste in terms of what people wear and how they sort of decorate their lives, their aesthetic. However, my implementation can be very poor. Like, it's taken me a minute.
I like your outfit. You look great.
Thank you so much. But it's taken me, you know, almost 30 years to put together something that looks a little good.
Like, oh, yeah. I dress like a lunatic. I'm wearing mix-matched fuzzy socks right now.
Yeah.
And, like, Lululemon spandex shorts and, like, my dad's flannel and then this 2XL Carhartt jacket. Like, it's insanity.
And this is welcome to fashion, please.
And it's a hate crime if you don't like it because this is, I'm non-binary.
I just, like, I couldn't do it. Like, my last girlfriend, she presented herself as super stylish and, like, you know, she definitely had good clothes and good taste, but I mean, she wasn't blowing me away. But I but I still was dressing so clumsily. Like, I, for the first 25 years of my life, I didn't care about what I put on. Mm. I was more so just like hiding that I was gay. I was like, I'll just fit in. I'll just wear whatever people are wearing. Like, I was wearing dresses. I was like doing all this like straight gross stuff.
Do you think part of that also was stand-up, too, and being perceived in, like, such a... Because, like, I think about, like, how I dress and how tied it is to being on stage. Where, like, there are days where I love to dress very femme, but yeah. I always kind of am more masculine on stage because I want to feel like I have a little bit of an armor distance from
totally.
People observing me.
Oh, 100%. I, like, don't want anyone to, like, be looking at what I'm wearing on stage.
Yeah.
I was, like, paranoid about that for a while. I would wear, like, only plain T-shirts. With, like, couldn't say anything. I didn't want to wear jewelry. Like, I was obsessed with it.
Yeah, that's always the, like, you got to just wear jeans and a black T-shirt. And it's like, okay, but then we also need to, like, express ourselves like, in other ways. Like, I'm like, oh, I should have a day where I, like, wear some wacky pants.
Right, I was like Steve Jobs on stage. Just, like, the black turtleneck every day. Like, the thing about me. Just, like, psycho. Yeah, I don't know. And then, like, right now, it's like, because in my last relationship, I remember, like, if we went out somewhere nice or, like, to an event, I was wearing dresses. And then I'm thinking, if I wore a dress in this relationship, I would feel really not sexual. And maybe that's because I know how my girlfriend perceives me, that, like, because I'm more masculine in our relationship or, like, embody more of the masculine dynamic, it would feel like I'm, like, I don't, it would, like, not gel with how I feel I show up in our dynamic.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
It kind of
reminds me. Like, because I'm a top, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to wear a dress, and then I don't think my girlfriend would even be, like, attracted to that.
Wait, that's so funny, because sometimes when I have a day where, like, weird. Let's say I, like, was feeling really femme,
yeah.
And then the next day I'm, like, still, like, have my makeup on, but I'm, like, oh, today's a mask day, I literally am, like, ugh. Gay. Like, I'm like, I'm not like, I want to be, I'm like, oh, I feel like a, like, dude in a dress right now. Like, this is weird. Get it off of me.
Yeah, what? That's so strange.
I'm like, I'm not fucking gay, dude.
So how do you feel about, like, I was talking to, who's that? Ashley Gavin about this recently. No, some other lesbian. Maybe Rachel Scanlon. I was saying that sometimes, like, when I'm feeling more masculine, because we were talking about top surgery, I was saying how, like, my boobs are, I don't know who I was talking to, like, undercut my masculinity.
Whoa, interesting.
And sometimes I'm like, guys, can I just have a minute? You know what I mean? Like, I don't always feel like they're serving me in, like, the energy. But sometimes I'm cool with them. But sometimes I kind of feel more neutral towards them, or I'm just like, I'm not really sure what your end goal is. You know what I mean?
It's like an appendix.
You know what I mean? Okay. It's like when you're feeling, when you're, like, leaning into masculinity, how does it change how you relate to your body?
Totally, because it's like, yeah, like, I tend to dress in, like, boxier shirts or, like, a sports bra because it's like, I do love having tits sometimes,
yeah.
Love, you know, doing that whole thing. But yeah, like, when I'm dressing more masculine, I'm like,
I love doing that whole thing. Yeah.
But, like, yeah, totally, sometimes where I'm like, I dress to change the frame of my body a little bit.
Right.
I'm also, like, I started weightlifting, and that makes me feel a lot more masculine, and I think is pushing me towards a body that can kind of it feel more masculine or feminine, because I'm like, you can flex and be like, I'm fucking ripped, or you can, like, but weightlifting also makes you kind of curvy, so it's like,
right.
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of that of, like, how do you build a body that can kind of go back and forth between masculine and feminine and feel comfortable in both.
Yeah.
The same, I have times where I'm like,
I guess you just source it from the inside. You know, no, seriously, like, you're just like, this will emanate out how I'm feeling and how I claim my energy.
When you're...
Like, I don't fucking know.
When you're like, oh, I want to feel masculine and my tits aren't really serving me, are you like...
I don't know if I ever say to myself, I want to feel masculine. I just feel like, lately at least, how I've been dressing, which feels like more like... how they would have said in the 90s, I'm being a tomboy. Like, that way of dressing, sometimes I feel like if my boobs are, like, too big or, like, my cleavage is showing too much, I'm like, no, it doesn't go with my vibe right now.
Like, do you do something to, like, cover it or put
it
down?
I don't know what I do. Everyone always says that everyone's always surprised that I have big boobs. Everyone can look. I have. Everyone keeps their eyes up.
I was like, uh huh, absolutely.
I have had a breast reduction. Now I have D cups.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Whoa.
I know. So people are shocked when they see my tits out, and I don't really know where I'm going with this whole conversation.
Well, I was thinking about this recently that I was like, I don't think I want to get top surgery, but I think if I had really big boobs, I would want to get a breast reduction for like gender reasons. Like, I'm kind of just lucky that my boob size is directly proportional to how much of a woman I feel like. I'm like, just a little hint.
That's hilarious.
Just on a technicality.
Oh my God. That's really, yeah. I mean, what a blessing for you.
Yeah. It worked out.
It really, it's like perfect. So I was watching your Comedy Central digital set. And it's so funny.
Oh, thank you.
One of the things you were talking about was the dorm room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sex and signing, having to sign people in to your dorm room. And that is so funny and so true that in college, you could go out drunk and bring someone back and have this added step to boning, which is just like a security guard, like checking in this random person.
It's so insane that like one time my boyfriend and I, we were dating and they turned him away because his ID was like a week expired. And I was like, I can't fuck him because we have to go to the DMV. Like, what are you talking about? It's him. You've seen him here like every day. And then one time.
He didn't go to your school.
No, he did not go to my school. He's a comic.
Okay.
Great comic, but
you love all your exes. Great comic, like,
great guys.
Yeah.
My one time I brought a guy home though, and I like he we were like the same age, I think. But I brought him back, and I was like checking him in, and they're like, "Have you been here before?" And he was like, "Yeah, like it's under Rebecca." Like he had fucked
someone else in that building.
Yeah,
that's awful.
It made me laugh so hard. I was like, "Dude, that's really funny."
Oh my God, I would have been like, oh shit. But there was a guy I remember that I brought back to my NYU dorm room. And I remember as they were signing him in, I was like, this is wrong. Like, I shouldn't bring this guy back. He was like, he was probably like 30 something.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know, 18.
And he's like signing a log at the school.
He was
oh my
like,
God.
I mean, I'm saying 30. He probably was like 25. But he was like a Marine or something. He just was too old and I was too gay. It was like not right. And I remember like we like took a shower in my dorm together. It was really weird. I would do stuff like that and then like not fuck them and they would be so upset, and because I was like, oh, I want to fall in love.
Yeah.
And they were like, can you not be a psycho? This freshman at NYU just brought me back to her dorm and made me like shower with her and then like kissed me on the cheek. I don't want to be a part of this.
Do you, when you look back on your experiences with men, do you feel like you're bisexual, or you do feel like that was like some comp het, like in the closet stuff?
It's a good question. I feel like I'm pretty much a lesbian, but I'll never say never.
Mm.
Like, usually if I like get out of a relationship with a woman in between my next big relationship, for like a moment in time, I always like consider men again.
Mm.
And maybe I'll think one is like cute or something, and then I'll hook up with them, and like as we're about to hook up, I'm like, oh man, I hate it. Or like I'll be like not into it or something, but I generally will go up to that point kind of again and again.
Do you think if straight guys were more comfortable with receiving kind of toppy energy from a woman, that would change how likely you were to be with guys, or is it independent of that?
I think it's independent of that, because I like women.
Sorry, I sounded like your dad. I was like, do you just give it a shot?
No, I think it's a good question, but I think that's interesting. Like, I feel different when I am with a man too. Like, if I'm with a man, I definitely see, I don't know if this is like if I'm like playing a game that I like will like step more into feminine, and like I'll just be like do my straight thing where I'll be like, hi, you know. But if I'm with a girl, I'm like, what's up?
Yeah, and it's almost like more of a performance with men. Well, cause I know I said I've never been with a guy, but when I with a woman, but when I think about being with a woman, I'm like, I think about the attractive thing being like, she's hot, versus like when I'm with a guy,
it's what we're doing is hot.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, he's hot, but he likes me, and that's hot.
Right. That's so true. I mean, like, some women are so hot.
It's fucking
crazy.
Some
women are so hot. We never finished saying what happened during your quarantine awakening, your quarantine queer awakening.
Oh, yeah. I sort of, since then, it's been, I don't know, what, 2-3 years? And kind of in a slow roll towards now I'm finally like, okay, she, they pronouns. I very much feel like non-binary, gender fluid, between between being some kind of non-binary masculinity and still very much like a woman too.
Yeah. But so you and the boyfriend break up?
Yeah, I moved to New York. I graduated college and it was just like a
I grew up.
Timing circumstance thing. Okay. No, he's a great guy. It was just like I moved and we're both young. So,
right, right. Yeah. No, totally. And then so you come to New York and you don't immediately go on the apps and say, I want to date women. You're like, I'm just going to let this unfold gradually.
I've had it set to men and women kind of forever on Hinge.
You can't do both because only men come up.
Yeah, it's and only men are liking me where I'm like, am I not giving off gay enough vibes? Like, I think I'm pretty...
No, don't even get me started on gay people on the apps. Specifically gay women on the apps.
But
the
worst. I don't even hook up with... I don't think I've ever hooked up with a man from an app. I've maybe been on a date, mm-hmm. but I've never, like... Yeah, casual sex just, like, has not been something that has ever been a super big part of my life. So I had the app, but, like, no, I didn't really go... I was so, like, stand-up focused. I was like, yeah, I'll date later.
Okay, but when is it going to happen? I'm, like, really eager for you to hook up with a girl.
I know, I really...
You're too casual about this. You're like, and then it was just a few years, and I just let it go, and I was doing stand-up. Aren't you so curious to get your face down there?
No, I really am, but I need to like the person.
I know you need to like the person. You'll like them, but go on a date first.
No, I do.
You'll like some people. I mean, you can definitely find someone you'll like. No, you don't have to be in love with them. You know? Right? Are you?
Yeah, no. Do you have any tips for how I should?
Well, we talk about this all. I mean, I just think shut off the men. It doesn't have to mean anything permanent, but just focus on women for 1 second here. Give them a shot.
Just give space to women in your life for one goddamn minute.
Literally, just like make it only women. Mm. Pick a few people you want to go on a date with and then just let it happen, right?
I think that's the thing that is hard for me to remember sometimes too is like, going on a date with someone doesn't mean like I'm immediately ready to put my face in your pussy right now. It's like all you're doing is the date.
Yeah, you don't have to.
And if you don't
to.
Feel it, nothing has to happen.
No, nothing has to happen. I mean, I think it'll be a really good experience for you.
Okay, I think I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll report back.
This is like a big deal. How long are you in LA?
I'm here till
No, there's a difference between being on the apps in LA or New York. I'm just curious.
Really? What's the difference?
Well, it depends what your type is.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I either go for like really just femme.
Just idiot.
A straight girl would think she's hot. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, duh.
Or like a like Kristen Stewart kind of androgynous.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just like really sexy. Both incredibly sexy options.
Yeah, as long as you're incredibly hot.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's okay. And then so who's your comp for the first one? Like celebrity crush?
Oh, wow.
So a straight girl would think she's hot.
I mean like Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't you tired of straight girls saying girl crush? It's like, no,
well, that's
it's
what
a crush.
I did for the longest time and I was like, yeah, that's a crush.
It's a crush.
So many girls that
you're
I was like
gay, Rebecca.
So many girls I was like, I just wanna like look like her. I like she's like I wanna like be
okay,
like her.
Okay, that is a kind of a thing though.
But I thought that and then I looked back and I was like, I also had a crush on her.
For me, that's true. I also had a crush on them, but I had talked about this with my sister on the show where I'm like, I don't know if I want to be someone or fuck them. We've been calling it bucking.
That's what, I have that with men too.
Yeah, oh my
I don't
God.
Know
I
if
have
I
that
want
with men.
Your
I have
masculine
that.
Features or I want, it's both.
Okay, I very much feel that way about men more. Like
really?
There's these male, well, I felt it a lot growing up with men because I associated them with like getting the girl.
Mm.
So I was like, I would have to embody that in order to like fuck her.
Whoa.
So I'd be like, that's cool. These things are cool. And I think that's still in me of like, this is what the type of person that gets that person looks like and is and like how they walk the walk.
Oh, interesting.
You know, like I had all these in seventh grade. I don't know what I'm saying. I think it was around seventh grade. My room was covered in posters from those magazines. I forget where you could like rip out like M magazine and you could like rip out the poster. And it was all of these hot men. And my parents were like, you're so straight. That's what they thought. Meanwhile, these were like my idols.
Wow.
I like wanted to be like Chad Michael Murray and like Orlando Bloom.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I thought they were like so cool and just the way women swooned over them.
Mm.
You know?
That's so interesting.
I know. I mean, so, but you felt that way growing up?
Yeah, I definitely had, like, there was this YouTuber. Do you know Dan is Not on Fire?
Dan is Not on Fire.
I think he's doing, like, a stand-up tour now, maybe, but he was this, like, British YouTuber that I watched in middle school, and I remember going to the hairdresser and showing her a picture of his, like, emo swoop cut and being like, I want this so bad.
Yeah.
There were so many, like, emo YouTube guys that
oh
I wanted
God.
To be. Yeah.
Were your parents worried about that? Offended by that? Happy for you?
No, they were super like, as long as it's not permanent, do whatever you want. Like
wow.
I went to my friend's house one time and came back and they had shaved the sides and back of my head and like dyed the top part like
to
this
your head?
Bright blue. Yeah, I was like, let's do my hair. And like
they shaved it.
Shaved it and then left like a blue swoop on the top. Like it was fucking insane. And my parents, I came back,
a
my parents
blue
were like
swoop.
Dude, it was so
How
bad.
How old were you?
I was in sixth grade, I think.
And you didn't tell your parents before, I'm going to shave my head and dye it blue?
No, I was like, okay, I'm going to go hang out at my friend's house. And I came back and they were like, oh, okay. They were like, it's not permanent. You're not hurting anybody.
You have such good parents.
I lucked out so hard. I have the coolest parents in the world. Like, truly, like, it's insane how much they were, like, down for whatever.
Wow.
They were like, if you're not hurting yourself and it's like you're just exploring shit, go for it.
Oh, my God.
Like, so lucky.
Wow. Being a parent is so messy.
Do you want to have kids?
Well, this is the crux of my life, is that my partner wants to have kids, like, immediately, and I don't know if I'm ready.
Mm.
And it's creating mass havoc and chaos for me personally, which is probably why I need to smoke pot during the episode to stop my stomach from hurting. Because I am so terrified of not being with Julian, but I'm equally terrified of being a parent. I can't imagine having to have a kid come home with a shaved head. And accept that.
would you be not okay with it?
I don't know, because I have this higher version of myself that's like, of course, accept your child, love them, let them experiment. But then there's this other version of me that wants to like protect, keep safe. Obviously, it's misguided, because I would be the one like hurting my kid, not keeping them safe by not allowing them to explore.
Oh, I totally have that. I think about that when I go on, like, I call my parents and I'm like, okay, I was like, I'm driving home from San Diego to LA, and they're like, okay, and it's 1 a.m. and it's a 2-hour drive, and I'm like, I could never let my kid.
I couldn't sleep at night.
I'd be like, you're never getting in a car ever.
I don't,
like,
want my kid walking outside alone.
Yeah, no, truly.
Like, I'm going to suffocate them.
Yeah. I would be like, you're bubble boy. I don't know. I used to always think I did, because I love kids, and I
would you carry?
I think I'd be a good mom. Would I carry?
Yeah.
Like, would I get pregnant?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would enjoy. Well, I'm on Prozac, and so I don't know how that would work if I could afford mentally to go off of it for 9 months.
Do you have to go off when you're pregnant?
It seems, everything I read is like,
I'm having a Prozac baby.
Everything I read is like, maybe, but if you're really depressed, maybe it's worth it to like take the risk. And I was like, that's insane. But
if you're really depressed, stay on it.
I think if I had kids, I probably would get pregnant. And honestly, I like the idea of like being in love with a guy and like him getting me pregnant. Like, that's appealing.
American
to
dream.
Me.
You're like pretending you're unique. I have, like, this thing where, like, I love the idea of a guy knocking me up and just taking care of me. Okay, groundbreaking, Maddie Wiener.
But the more
no,
that,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
even I like that idea.
Like, I'm totally not opposed to that, and I do think I could be a good mom. Like, I think I have,
you definitely,
like,
mom
would
vibes. Be a good mom.
Thanks.
Yeah,
but I am so like, if it interfered with stand up, like if I'm.
It will interfere with stand-up.
If I'm 35 and my career is not where I want it to be, and it's like I can keep going down this path or have kids and kind of halt it here, I'm like, I'm going to choose stand-up, because I think if I chose kids, I couldn't be a good mom, because I'd be like, I know I like...
You'd resent them.
...gave up this thing I was like spending my life on. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense. And you have to prioritize... You end up just prioritizing your kids, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you like have to, and it's
like they're your kids.
Yeah. Is that your big, stop me if this is too personal, anyway,
yeah,
but is it stand-up and career stuff that you're like, I don't know if kids are the right now?
It's just, yeah, I mean, it's, of course.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know how to separate stand-up and career stuff from me.
Mm.
First of all, I feel like it's the same.
Yeah.
I am stand-up and career stuff. That's me. That's like what I do. That's my thing.
And there's no separate work for us. Like, it's your face.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like my, and, you know, I'm sure I could have kids and I could... You know, I would be a good parent and I would probably resent the kids a bit and resent Julian a bit, and we would fight a little and I would have some good times and a lot of hard times. Like, I would be fine, but I don't know if I want to choose it.
Yeah.
I want to choose from a place of like, I'm really excited about this next step in my life. I don't want to feel like I'm going into something for something else, or I don't want to resent forever. That sounds brutal.
Yeah.
I want to buy a big house and like travel a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the money thing, too. I'm like, dude.
The money thing. Kids cost money.
Yeah, and I really, it seems like the hardest thing in the world to have a kid and be strapped for cash. I'm like, if you're not comfortable, it seems fucking hard.
But even when you're comfortable, you have to spend your money on them. First of all, I don't know you. Who are you? And then the other, like, who are you? You're a stranger and you're, like, gonna basically stop me from getting fucked and take my money? No, I'm not interested in this arrangement we're gonna have. By the way, kids, when they grow up, it's not like they love you. Most of the time they don't. They're teenagers. They're like, fuck you, mom. Fuck you. Thanks for your fucking trauma. Fuck this. Fuck that. You're always busy. All you do is care about. They're going to hate you.
Yeah.
Then maybe after college, they like, what are they going to, they're going to be depressed. They're going to need extra money. They're going to need support. They're going to be insecure. Okay, fine. 5 years after that, they're 30. Now they kind of come around for a moment in time.
Yeah. No, like, honestly, that's maybe
ruthless.
Not worth it.
Like, that's brutal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I think it's just a lot. But it seems like I'm going to have kids pretty soon. Which I can't wait for. You were talking also about, you did the joke about the long distance open relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so funny.
Oh, thank you.
The joke was basically like when all of these different relationship orientations, if you're long distance and open, it's like I'm in more of a relationship with your boyfriend than you are.
Yeah, it was like if you're long distance and open, it's like you know a guy. That's not anything.
I know. It's like very common though. Now, how do you land on the relationship orientation? Do you want a monogamous partner or you're...
I think I'm pretty monogamous oriented. Like, I think I could do like an open thing if I didn't love the person. But when I'm attached to someone, it's like...
Yeah.
It's hard to know because I feel like it does come from a place of jealousy. And I think I'm like, oh, if I were more enlightened, could I be polyamorous? Like, is that the truly like best way to go? But I really like having like a person and I like knowing that we like each other the most. It feels pretty natural to me. So no, I probably lean more towards just like monogamous.
Yeah, I agree. I always in my mind wish I could handle the poly open thing, but I just don't know that the truth. I don't know if I could.
Like long term, I couldn't. I could like be in a, oh, excuse me. I could be in a thing with someone doing that. But like if I was really like, you're my partner.
Right.
I think I would have to be monogamous. And because I don't really like casual sex or sex without. Well,
I don't really like sex.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to go like try to fuck other people. Like, I wouldn't even want that. You know what I mean?
I know. It's really confusing whichever way you cut the mustard. Have you ever heard of that phrase?
No.
I learned it a week ago. Cut the mustard is just like whichever way you cut it, which is, new phrase, cut the mustard.
I could maybe see it if it was like a marriage, you have kids, you've been together 30 years. Yeah, and you're like, I need to like... feel like a sexy, alive new person again.
Then fuck
and we
else.
Both do, and we both want to fuck other people. Then I kind of see that, but it's like.
But like when you're married with kids, like you're going to go out, like start fucking people, and like your husband's just, or your partner is just cool with it, and you're just like, that seems confusing too.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, there's no good option.
No, I'm probably like monogamous. And you said you're also, you lean that way?
I mean, I've tried like open, I've tried that stuff, but it's just difficult to manage. And like emotionally, it's difficult to manage.
Dude, I get so jealous. It's like heartbreaking. I'm like, more power to anyone who can do that, but like, I don't know that I'll ever get there.
Yeah, I understand that. I totally get that. Maddie, tell everyone where they can find you.
I'm on Instagram at Maddie T. Wiener. I have a YouTube channel. YouTube. I have a Substack where I write essays that they're not really comedy, but they're like
really
fun
sad
and about
essays.
And I have a mailing list. I have a mailing list and a text list if you want to come see me on tour. All of that is at the link in my Instagram bio.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.